We are continuing our series from Psalm 32, verses 1 and 2. I told you when we began that Psalm 32, verses 1 and 2 would be a launching pad, sometimes for other scriptures, and so it will be this morning. But just to remind you again, Psalm 32, verse 1, "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered." Let's go before the Lord together in prayer. Almighty Father, we have worshipped you in song and prayer and giving. And now, O Lord, we would worship by hearing. For you have ordained that through the foolishness of the message preached, the power of God unto the salvation of sinners and the building up of saints would go forward. So bless the speaker and the hearers for the sake of Jesus. Amen. Well, for weeks we have been hearing about how blessed a person is whose sin is forgiven and covered. A sin is a serious matter for every person. And if this sin problem is not dealt with, you are in big trouble. If that man is blessed whose sin is forgiven, there is an implication there that if your sin is not forgiven, you're cursed. David is a sinner who is speaking about his need of this blessing. In fact, in verse 5 of Psalm 32, he says, "I acknowledged my sin to you, and my iniquity I have not hidden. I will confess my transgression to the Lord, and you forgave my iniquity." Being covered by the mercy of God is a blessing because it's the only way for you to deal with your sin problem. God has given the gift of eternal life in Christ Jesus to whoever believes in him, justified by faith in what Jesus has done is the essence of the gospel. A forgiven sinner has received the perfect, changeless, amazing blessing of God. That's what we've been thinking about over the last several weeks. We've been focused on the opening verses of Psalm 32 as the best blessing. Question: have you heard the message? Is there a warning that you could ignore without anything serious happening? Is there a warning that you could ignore without anything serious happening? Warning! This is the last piece of cake. You could ignore that warning and not much serious would happen. Warning! Bridge out ahead. Okay, that's not a warning you should ignore if you happen to be on that road. Or you will plunge into the river or the canyon or be injured and killed. That's a very serious warning. You see, Psalm 32, for all its amazing blessing, is also a dangerous blessing if you ignore it. If your sin is not covered, you will not know this blessing. It'll be foreign to you, strange to you, something other than the Word of God to you. But if the warning is not given, you are in great danger. And if the preacher does not warn you, then the preacher's in big trouble. God has set a watchman on the walls to warn his people of danger. Very familiar passage, I think, to most of us. Turn to Ezekiel 33. Going to read verses 1 through 9. Ezekiel 33. Again, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, speak to the children of your people, and say to them, When I bring the sword upon a land, and the people of the land take a man from their territory, and make him their watchman, when he sees the sword coming upon the land, if he blows the trumpet and warns the people, then whoever hears the sound of the trumpet and does not take warning, if the sword comes and takes him away, his blood shall be on his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet, but did not take warning. His blood shall be upon himself. But he who takes warning shall save his life. But if the watchman sees the sword coming and does not blow the trumpet, and the people are not warned, and the sword comes and takes any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at the watchman's hand. So you, son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Therefore, you shall hear a word from my mouth and warn them for me. When I say to the wicked, O wicked man, you shall surely die, and you do not speak to warn them, the wicked, from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. Nevertheless, if you warn the wicked to turn from his way, and he does not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but you have delivered your soul. The preacher has a duty to warn, to make an effort to rescue a soul from the danger of sin. So I want to think this morning about the watchman's mission and the watchman's message and the watchman's method. First of all, there is this mission that's given in verses 1 through 3. The word of the Lord comes to Ezekiel, a prophet, to the people of God in perhaps the darkest days of captivity. This is the period of the 70 years under Babylon. Ezekiel gets that vision of the dry bones scattered on the land. But God is going to reassemble those bones. And he is telling the prophet, speak to your people, Israel. Who are they at the moment? They are a stubborn, rebellious, hard of hearing people of God. And they're under the judgment of God. They're being judged by Jehovah. Why? Because their sin has caused a break in their relationship. Sin separates. It may not cause you as a Christian to lose your salvation, but it may cause God to turn his face from you, to hide his face from you, so that your relationship is strained. Your iniquities separate you from your God, and the judgment of God may be upon you. War was coming to the people of God. When I bring the sword. Well, brothers and sisters, we could talk a lot about what's going on right now, couldn't we? There's been a lot of talk on Facebook and various places. Is this a judgment of God? I don't see how you could argue it isn't. On some level, God is judging this land, perhaps the whole world, under this very thing. And yet, God has not left us without a voice. He's going to take a man and make him a watchman, a lookout. Might we say, a spy, a guardian to the people of God, hired by the people of God. Ministers are called by the church according to God's word. If they're a faithful church, what have they called the minister to do? Church work, not political work. You haven't called your pastor to pass legislation or get politicians elected or defend the Constitution. It's not why you've called your pastor. No, you've called a pastor who has been made a watchman by who? By the mouth of God. Verse 7. I have made you a watchman. And Paul writes to the Corinthians, God appoints officers for his church. Jesus says himself, I have given to the church. In Ephesians 4, Paul mentions that. He has given what? Pastors, teachers, apostles, evangelists. He gives them a task. God sends a preacher to you. He's called to be your watchman. Brothers and sisters, talk about a blessing again. What a blessing that God has sent you a warning. He hasn't left you in the dark. Now that watchman, whoever he is, wherever he's working, depends on God for every grace, for every sermon, for every study. But it's not the watchman that you need so much as his mission. He's the one that's been called and sent to the church. And what is his mission? Again, not change the politics. But his mission is what? Verse 3. When you see the sword coming, the watchman is to have living eyes trained to see the danger. Brothers and sisters, there's some real danger to the church right now. I thank God that there's a live stream that we can include many that are not here today. That there are people watching from other states. I'm grateful for all of that. How many Christians have gotten comfortable with being home and not with the body of Christ? How many people who've been a part of the church of God are worshiping at home and in the middle of the sermon, get up and get another piece of toast, refill their coffee, put their pants on? That sounds funny, but I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, there are people out there that are worshiping in such a relaxed way. It's a dishonor to God. It's a dishonor to Christ. There's a danger right now to the church that it will dissipate Because people will say, well, after all, we're being restricted. And they've gotten used to not going. Sunday schools are down to their minimum number. And Sunday nights. There's 43 of us here this morning. You know how many there'll be tonight? 11. There's a danger to the church in this very thing that's pressing on us as a body. We're supposed to see this sword coming and take a personal interest in your personal interest. And that is your eternal destiny. Brothers and sisters, may not show as much as you might think, but I think about your souls often. I pray for you often. The watchman's mission is to say there's a danger. There's a danger to the church. There's a danger to unbelievers. What's his message? Verse 3. And he warns the people. 8 times in 7 verses, the word warns is there. It means to admonish, to teach, to shine the light upon, to put a flashing thing up there. You know, I don't know about you, but we're supposed to pay attention when we drive, right? We're not supposed to text when we drive, right? What has the state done? Put a great big billboard with text on it that flashes. And usually, what are they telling us? Pay attention to your driving. Makes no sense. But that's a warning. No, there are some good warnings out there. It is good when you're on the highway going 70 miles an hour and they say, by the way, in the next mile, we go down to one lane. Okay. That wakes you up. If there's an enemy at the gate in the city of Mansoul and it's about to be invaded, what message should the watchman be giving? Well, he should sound the warning. Verse 7, you hear a word from my mouth and warn them for me. The message is to be God's mouthpiece. Thus says the Lord. And who's he supposed to say it to? Notice verse 8. When I say to the wicked, O wicked man. Brothers and sisters, the watchman must warn about the dangers without. And the dangers within. There are robbers amongst the people of God who have taken away the scriptures and given you entertainment instead of the word. There are places, this is not an exaggeration, there are places where they have taken away the ordinances of God. The Lord's Supper is rarely, if ever, celebrated. But they have Hebrew dance. You can imagine what that looks like. They have taken away Christ. And they have given you experience and feelings and emotion and smoke machines and theater lighting and professional sound systems. They have taken away heaven and hell and given you the here and now. As if the only thing that mattered was how you feel about the worship. I don't care how you feel. But if your heart changes and you come to look at Christ as the Savior of sinners, I'll rejoice. There are wolves in the church bringing damnable heresies against the nature of Christ. There are Black Lives Matter leaders saying that Jesus was the first revolutionary. No talk about him being the Son of God, the eternal God, but rather being one who incited riots. The divinity of Christ is being challenged. Original sin being challenged. You know that there's a growing number, it's approaching 50% of people who say they go to church and call themselves Christians, who now say that premarital sex amongst adults, consenting adults who are unmarried, is okay. That's where we are in our society. That young people who are hooking up don't feel any compulsion to think of it as sin. There's a debate between grace and law, as if law no longer mattered at all. There's a debate about all religions being okay, not just the Christian religion. You will not be saved by Mormonism or Hinduism, or Buddhism, or many other isms. There's only one name that saves, and that's Jesus Christ. What is the answer? What is the message that the watchman should be given? The Word of God. God is, and God has spoken. There is a God, and He has said something that you can understand. It's not far off and ethereal and theoretical and theological mumbo jumbo. It's very real. You're a sinner who needs the grace of Christ, or you'll never be saved. And so Paul tells young ministers, what? Preach the word. Know the word. Because the word is truth. Do you understand, brothers and sisters, that truth is not relative? It's not subjective. It's not circumstantial. It's not cultural. It's not avoidable. You might argue, people argue about the truth of whether God created all things, but when it comes to their paycheck, 2 plus 2 matters. Christ, Jesus Christ, is not about your feelings and your emotional or your spiritual displays of extraordinary gifts. But Christ is about Christ and what He has done, not what you have felt, what you have known, what you have experienced. And the message of the watchman is a warning. And I could say, I think, without any hesitation, that those of you that are here, this is a warning you have heard. You've heard it from this pulpit on a regular basis, clearly, carefully, repeatedly. I have no compulsion, no hesitation to say, I have told you plainly that unless you repent, you will perish. And unless you put your trust in Jesus Christ alone for salvation, Jesus Christ alone for your righteousness, you have no hope. I've told you that. And those of you that are here as children, you've been brought up in Christian homes where you've heard that. You have no excuse. No excuse. That startling message has been sounded again and again. That message has not been delayed until your last hour. Nobody sitting here could ever say to me, "You never told me the gospel." That's a charge you cannot make against me on your deathbed. Could I have visited you more? Yeah, probably. There's no question about that. Well, fault me for that, fault me for that. But you've heard the gospel. And that's the watchman's job. For you to hear the gospel. Parents, what do you need to teach your kids? Tell them the gospel. Oh, we did that in devotions when they were 8. Well, tell them again. And what is that message? What is the method? The watchman's method is what? He blows a trumpet. He warns the people. Do you hear or do you ignore the warning? God is going to require an account from the watchman. But if he has sounded the clarion call of the gospel, if he has warned you, if he has spoken to you, if he has admonished you, if he has nouthetoed you, that is, confronted you with words, then brothers and sisters, you are either guilty or innocent. You have either heard the warning, responded to the warning, or you've ignored the warning. The faithful watchman takes God's word and sounds it out for all to hear. I thought about bringing you an audio illustration. I thought about bringing my shofar and sounding it out. That's the image that he's talking about. For all to hear. And that implies applies to individuals where needed. Yes, brothers and sisters, the gospel has gone out to you publicly from the pulpit. And on occasion, face to face, the watchman has brought the whole word of God to you every year, in season and out of season. As if the preacher had said, "I come from God to you and my life is at stake. And if I ignore your sin, I'm in trouble." Would you refuse to hear a plea for faithfulness from a messenger of your heavenly Father? You know, as if a child were to say to his siblings, "Dad said to tell you," I don't know about you in your home, but if a child came and said, "Mom said," that was as good as mom saying. We also had a warning. If you go to your siblings and you say, "Dad said," and he didn't say, you're in big trouble. But if Dad did send you, and you come with Dad's word, don't you think you should pay attention? Why don't you heed the message? Why don't you hear the gospel warning? Could it be that you think that the warning of the messenger is, "The sky is falling, the sky is falling." And just like that old fable, you think there's no real danger. Are you sitting here thinking there's no hell? There's no judgment? There's no wrath of God? Are you sitting here thinking, well, I'm only 9? Don't I have lots of time? I hope so. But we don't know, do we? Are you sitting here saying, I don't like the sound of that trumpet? I don't like the way he preaches. I don't like the music they use. I don't like the traditions that they have. Why are they so quiet? I don't like the messenger. Listen, I didn't get in this calling because I thought I would be the most liked person. Okay, you don't like the man, he rubs you the wrong way. That's still no excuse not to listen to him. I'm God's man for Emmanuel Chapel. Have been for 17 years. Get over it. I'm too busy. Brothers and sisters, if you're too busy to get out of a burning house, you're too busy! Or do you make those excuses? Well, I am only whatever teen years old, I'll wait until I'm 20-something and then get serious about religion. Oh, now I'm in the middle of college. Well, I'll wait till I get out of college, then I'll get serious about my faith. Oh, I'm not married yet, so I'll wait until I find a spouse, then I'll get serious about, oh, I'm in the middle of my career now, and I need to get to the promotion, so I'll wait until I... And the next thing you know, you'll be 63 and wondering if you're going to make 64. No, you need to be hearing this watchman. He who takes warning, verse 5, he who takes warning, the end of that verse, will save his life. Will deliver his soul. He who takes warning will escape the coming judgment. And then there's a warning to the watchman. If he doesn't sound the alarm to the wicked's still going to die. But God is going to say, I'm going to require that at your hands. An unfaithful ministry is a disgrace to God. And there are some unfaithful ministries out there, brothers and sisters. As popular as they are, they never talk about sin. They never talk about God's answer for sin. But a faithful ministry glorifies God and sinners are warned and the remedy is presented. And if the warning is sounded by the watchman and you take heart, you heed the warning, both parties are safe. The preacher and the hearers. But there's a warning to the hearers. In fact, the warning is, if the watchman fails in his ministry, in his duty, the wicked is still wicked. Verses 8 and 9. Wicked man, you will surely die. You will die in your iniquity. Yes, brothers and sisters, preachers have an enormous responsibility. I will have to answer to God who gave this commission. But you will have to answer to how you've heard. Have you spiritually, you know, been the little kid that's la, 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 not listening? Or have you heard? Sinners have an even greater responsibility to turn from their wicked ways. We didn't read it, verse 11 of Ezekiel 33. Say to them, "As I live, says the Lord, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live." Turn! Turn from your evil ways. For why should you die, O house of Israel? Repent and believe the gospel. Heed the sound of the warning. Reform your life. Give your life to Christ. I mean, brothers and sisters, if there's anything that these days have given us, it's a little more time. I got news for you. This is not a judgment on you, and I'm not really tooting my own horn, but I'm going to say it anyway. I don't care about Tom Brady today or tomorrow or next week. I loved watching them play up here, but I don't care what he does down there. I haven't watched football. My cherished Celtics, I don't even know where they are at this point, and don't care. I'm surprised at how little I miss sports. Have I redeemed that time? I should. I could read more. If you turn a deaf ear to the trumpet of the gospel, the only end for you is the judgment of God. And if I don't sound that warning, my life is at stake. Brothers and sisters, if you ignore the warning, if it's been given, one day you will hear the judge of all the earth say, "Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels." That day's coming. But I also say to long-standing Christians of the church, the warning must be given now and again. We need to make sure we're on track as Christians, and that those areas of neglect are confronted, that our habits are changed, that our devotion is renewed, that our doctrine is refined. Are you reading anything theological? Anything? Anything? And we have a duty to rescue someone in danger of hellfire. Now, it's not a crime for you to stand by and not rescue somebody. That's not a crime. It might be immoral. If you're standing there with a rope and somebody's drowning and you don't throw them the rope, there's something wrong with you. But it's not a crime. But brothers and sisters, if you have heard the sound, if you know the Master's voice, if you're a Christian, then you're an instrument of God's message and gospel. Christian, you carry the gospel in your heart. No, he might not call you to street preaching. Can you imagine Meg Turner out on the street with her walker preaching to crowds down at Worcester Circle or whatever that center is called on it? DCU, Meg Turner marching up and down. No, you can't imagine it, because God didn't call her to do that. But you still have the gospel in your heart. That goes for every Christian. Well, the Lord didn't make me a missionary, but he made you a Christian. And you're part of this world, aren't you? The watchman's call should be definite, distinct, emphatic, rousing, warning every man. But it's dangerous for you to ignore the warning. If Psalm 32 is right, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, what's implied? Cursed is he whose sin is not covered. Is your sin covered? How? By what? By whom? The gospel is God's clarion call. Brothers and sisters, never mind what the world thinks of you. What did they think of Paul? They called him a babbler. Can you imagine? They called him a heretic. Paul, the inspired writer of the New Testament. They called him a heretic. They called him a plague. They tried to kill him. But what did God call him? Acts 9:15. God called Paul a chosen vessel to bear his name, to preach the gospel of Christ to a lost and dying world. That's every minister that you've ever heard. Every faithful minister. Will you turn the deaf ear to the watchman and his message again? Or will you heed the trumpet call? Come to Christ in faith. Confess your sin. Repent of your sin. Believe in Jesus Christ. And be saved. Today. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we do come in the name of the Lord Jesus, who have heard that gospel call, maybe on many times. We're not what we ought to be yet, Lord. We have a long way to go, but we thank you we're not what we used to be. So keep working on us. Make us more like Christ. Help us to grow in our knowledge of Jesus and your word and your ways. And give us a boldness. Although you may not have called us to preach on the street corner, you've called us to let the light of Christ shine in our lives. May it be that people will ask us the reason of the hope that is in us, and we will be ready, willing, and able to point them to Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, our all in all. Hear us, O Lord, for his sake. Amen.